Hi, this is Mike Manico from NewYorkJetsNews.com. I have JoJo Tomsell on the line. How are you doing today?
Doing really well, thanks.
Okay. I got a list of questions here for you. I'll start off with, how are you doing physically these days?
Physically, I'm fine.
Long-term side effects from your time in the NFL or anything like that?
No, I've been fortunate, and, I always attribute part of that to my size, since I was too small to get too big of a hit on, so that helped me out a great deal, believe it or not, and I always was close to the sidelines, so that always helped too, so.
Now, you were the primary returner with the Jets for about six seasons, is that correct?
Yes.
And during that time, you scored, I think, three touchdowns off returns. But then come the 1989 season, due to injuries, you got to spend a lot of time on the field in receiver. Was that personally gratifying for you to have that season where you felt like, you proved you weren't just a returner and that, you were one heck of a receiver as well?
It was great to have that opportunity. I mean, unfortunately, it was due to injuries because, there's nothing wrong when you got, two outstanding receivers like Al Toon, Wesley Walker, and we had other guys there. I mean, they were great guys, great teammates. So it was just always just being ready. I mean, that's part of the job, just to be ready when your number was called. But that was always my take with becoming a return specialist, was that just like being a receiver, all you want to do is have, three or four times where you can touch the ball and see if you can do something positive for your team. So I never was discouraged of being behind those guys, just worked just as hard. It's just, like I said, just having that opportunity to get on the field and play ball. I mean, that's what it's all about.
During that season, the Jets had a rough year. I mean, you had a great year professionally, but what's that like when the season's not going the way you want and the team still have to get out there and play? Is that a tough thing to deal with?
Not at all. I mean, you get disappointed because obviously everybody would. I mean, there's nothing like being involved in the playoffs and having a chance to play in the Super Bowl. But you're not out there unless you enjoy the sport. So I mean, there's nothing like Sundays at Giant Stadium. I mean, that was a blast, and that's something that a lot of people aren't able to experience. So whatever you're feeling, come Sunday, you go out there and you got a sellout crowd going crazy, no matter what your record is. I applaud the New York fans for that. I mean, that's a rush that, you can't get anywhere else. And, if that doesn't get you charged up, nothing else will. So, I mean, that was always the great thing about playing in New York and being with the Jets.
Does that time in your life seem like it was just like a little instant, came and went way too soon?
Well, it's really fast. I mean, it seems like while you're playing, it seems like forever. Because physically it does take a toll. I mean, there's a commitment there that not like any other. So it seems like it's a long process, especially practices. I mean, can kind of get to you a little bit, but again, like I said, I mean, when those Sundays come around, it kind of lets you understand what you're paying the price for. I mean, it was that joy, it was that fun, and you're competing against the best athletes in the world, and you just try to make your mark every week to justify you being part of the roster. So I mean, that was a great challenge to have every year, and just was happy to have that experience. But the unfortunate part is, I mean, it's not a long career, and I did play 10 years total professionally. I had a stint in the USFL before I came to the Jets.
Yeah.
It seemed like it was a long time, but boy, I mean, you come out and you finish playing, you're only 32 years old, and still got the rest of your life ahead of you. So, all I can say is, I mean, I enjoyed every minute of it, I just take it for what it's worth. It was a great opportunity for me, something I didn't think that would happen in my life when I started playing football when I was young. You just love the game, and again, that's the thing that kind of keeps you going, and I'm sure it keeps all the guys that play ball going.
You said something interesting that, you know, you're talking about your age when you had to stop playing. Do you think people don't realize how young professional football players are? I'm 37, and professionally, people look at me like a young person, talk to me about, yo, you're just a pup. Do football players get a too high of an expectation when some of these kids are 23, 24 years old and are expected to act like adults, I guess?
Well, I think it's kind of the nature of the beast. I mean, you know, people, you know, try to, you know, stereotype you in certain ways, figuring that that's the way you should be, you know, whether it has to do with, you know, the salaries that are being made or a certain lifestyle that you should perceive just because you're a professional athlete. I mean, there's so many misnomers about professional athletes that people don't know. You know, and I don't know if people are just not interested or that, you know, the media doesn't take the time to really, you know, dive into that to let the public aware of it. But, you know, you got a product to sell, and that's, you know, and that's what you gotta do. I mean, ratings and all that other stuff. I mean, there's more interesting things to finding out what the nuts and bolts of being a professional athlete is. But, you know, for us personally, it's, again, it's just you're fortunate enough to do something that you enjoy doing and getting paid for. You get long-lasting relationships that'll last forever, experiences and memories that you'll have forever. And, you know, it's you know, it's really a blessing. I mean, I look at that, and outside of you know, being healthy at this time in my life, I mean, just knowing what I was able to experience, you know, while I was in New York with the Jets, you know, I'd do it again if I had a chance.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's actually a good topic to ask you some questions about. Was there ever a celebrity you met that? Or could you name a celebrity who you met who was like one of the cool, you know, like one of the those instances where you're like your whole life you remembered because you were a Jet? Like, you know, did you ever get to meet someone who you felt like a fan around, I guess?
Well, I think part of my problem while playing was that I was a fan of everybody. You know, I mean, you can't help get on the field and say, hey, there's LT or there's Joe Montana. You know, you're on the same field with these guys and, you know, Ronnie Lott and those kind of guys. I mean, the thing I found was that all the guys, you felt that sense of fraternity, that even though you're going to, you know, you're competing against each other, especially if you've gone on for a couple of years, you know, people, there was a respect there for everybody. They didn't care if you were the 53rd guy on the roster or, you know, the highest paid player on the roster. You know, if you were able to, you know, make your mark and stay on a team for several years, you know, there was just a mutual respect by everybody. But I think the thing that happened to me is that always kind of wigs me out a little bit is that running into guys that, you know, like a Ronnie Lott or I remember one time in Hawaii, I was vacationing in Hawaii and I ran into Magic Johnson and I said hello to him. And then all of a sudden he's like going down my whole stats, my career. He knew me at UCLA, all that kind of stuff. And I'm like, you know about me?
Yeah, right.
So I've had a couple of those type of experiences. That was the one that really stretched out because I was a big Magic Johnson fan. And
nice.
just for him, you know, to know, you know, just know about me. I mean, like I said, he was breaking down my life. And so I was, that was pretty exciting for me.
Nice. What do you spend your time doing nowadays? Like what's your, I guess, your interests and stuff?
Well, since 1997, I've been running a nonprofit youth sports foundation. It's called Me for Incredible Youth, or MeFII, And what we do is try to introduce kids to sports. And the reason why we do that is we try and teach them the importance of education through sports. The biggest thing we try to get across is how important a high school education is for your mm-hmm. livelihood. I especially use that with our youth football players because a lot of things that the one big statistic that a lot of kids don't know if they ever have a vision of playing in the NFL is that probably the first requirement is that you need to have a high school diploma or become a high school mm-hmm. graduate. The NFL does not have a training ground like baseball or basketball. You got to go to college if you want to have a chance to go to the NFL. So without that high school diploma, you can kiss your NFL dreams goodbye. So, but we work at all different sports, and again, just try to reach out to boys and girls as best we can and teach them how important their education is.
I can actually identify. You know, when I played football in high school, I wasn't really the greatest student. But having my coaches also being in school helped motivate me a little bit more. Had more people kind of checking on me and making sure I'm doing good. And I can see, you know, the tie between school and sports being an important one. That's a great thing to be doing with your time. I had a few others here. So just some locker room questions. Just some people you played with. Who was the funniest?
The funniest, probably, you know, because there's a thing that usually, for some reason, offensive guys hang out with offensive guys, defensive guys stay with the defensive guys in the locker room. Mm-hmm. At least when we were playing, and you kind of stay within your position. But I said two of the funniest guys were Wesley Walker and Johnny Hector. Both of them, they just have these one-liners that just come out of nowhere. I mean, they were so quick-witted with their thoughts. You know, we're just talking, you know, stuff in the locker room, and they'll just come up with something that just gets everybody rolling. And even to a point where we'd say certain things that I can't mention to you, but certain things that we would just kind of typecast, you know, different people. And they would just come up with, that's, you know, they would label them a certain way. And we would just knew, once they said that, we all knew what it meant. So, but yeah, but Wesley and Johnny, they were hilarious.
How about the toughest?
Good question. I mean,
toughest, like the one.
The teammates that that played hurt a lot of times, you know, like Joe Klecko. I mean, Joe, I think he was hurt almost every week. But he hardly missed the start, and that's for sure. You know, since I saw it up close and personal and was with him on a daily basis, Al Toon, I mean, Al took a lot of shots. Mm-hmm. You know, he was our primary receiver, and it got to a point sometimes, you know, teams, the only way they could stop him was getting physical with him. And this is the pre-spearing days, obviously.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, he took some shots. I mean, because if teams could read a play, especially the safeties, I mean, they'd really do their best to try to take him out. And he took a lot of shots. And, you know, God bless him. He would get back up and just get back on the field, and it wouldn't faze him. I mean, I know he had some issues here and there, but let me tell you, I mean, all the times that I was there, which was maybe 2 years less than what he was there, two or three years before he had to go ahead and give up the game, but it just wouldn't faze him. Wouldn't faze him at all, and if there's anyone I knew took some serious shots, it was him, and he would just get back up and, you know, give me the ball, man.
it's amazing. Like when I grew up, I remember when a guy would take a hit like that, the announcer would say, you know, oh, the quarterback can't throw that ball in there. More of a not like the guy should be taking his head off. It was just kind of like, oh, that was a bad play to let him get hit like that. It's amazing how much things have changed probably saw up close and personal, and, you know, while it may not always be preferable, it definitely was necessary. Let's see, that's what it is here. Is there anybody that, you know, that you've lost touch with over the years that played football with that you kind of wonder what they're doing or how to get a hold of them? I've actually heard this in common theme.
Yeah, probably Freeman McNeil, because we were together at UCLA. I mean, he was a couple of years ahead of me there, and then we got to be teammates again at the Jets. And Freeman was one of my favorite people, mainly because I knew how hard he always worked. I don't think he ever got the credit, both as a college back and particularly with the Jets. I never thought he got the credit that he deserved. I think he was one of the top backs when he was playing. I don't think we got him the ball enough. You know, part of that was that, I mean, Johnny Hector was a hell of a player too, and I guess just trying to protect those guys. But it would have been interesting if we could have featured Freeman a little bit more. I think he would have ended up being one of the all-time, from a stats standpoint, one of the all-time rushing yards. He was that good. I mean, he was big. He was quick. Did everything you want a running back to do. Durable. And then, you know, the best thing about him off the field, I mean, just a great teammate. I mean, just an awesome teammate. And if there's anyone I haven't seen or talked to in a long time, it's Freeman. But I hear he's doing pretty well. The last time I've heard, but it's been a couple of years. But he'd probably be the one. That really, you know, sets out for me.
Yeah, I'm probably embarrassed to admit this, but my wife was going through some of my childhood toys, and you know, they became bath toys for my kids. And I think I made my one of my little ones cry because in those bath toys was a Freeman McNeil starting lineup action figure, and I'm like, this isn't suited for kids. This shouldn't be in the bathtub. And I'm really trying to take it away from my kid, and you know. Still bath toy to this day, unfortunately. I grew up, you know, as a little kid, pretty much. You know, I grew up watching you guys. That's pretty much the reason I'm a football fan today, was because of that era of Jets, you know. This is the one I try to ask everyone, too. So if you were stuck on a desert island and you had to pick one of your former teammates to live on that island with, who would it be?
Okay, you were kind of going in and out. Can you?
Sorry about that. If you were, stranded on a desert island and you had to pick one person you played football with, who would it be? To stay with you there. Sorry.
Huh. Well, that's a good question. The one person on the island, you talking a former Jet?
So it can be anyone. It can be from any level of football you play.
That's interesting. That's a tough one because there's a lot of great guys that I have a kinship with. It would probably be Doakie Williams, who I played with at UCLA. He ended up playing with the Raiders. We were the same year at UCLA, came in at the same time, and we kind of grew together and always kind of kept that connection. And the reason why I kind of bring him up, he was kind of the he was a little bit of everything. He was the type of guy that that you can be serious with. I mean, he's a comedian. he's got entertainment up the yin yang. And I don't know. We just always kind of had the way we just saw life. It was always kind of you know, you you work hard but don't take it too seriously type of attitude, you know, that you know, you just want to enjoy the life to its fullest and take take advantage of opportunities, but you know, we're just not, you know, we're just not to a point where we need that status, if you will, you know. We just like to put on the hard hat, have a good day, and be around good people.
Any opinion on the team this year?
Excuse me?
Any opinion on the Jets this year?
As far as how they're going to do this year?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, obviously they got an outstanding new coach that has proven himself as a coordinator. You know, one good thing that hasn't gone away from the Jets the last few years, even when, you know, when Rex Ryan and those guys, I mean, the defense, you definitely don't see the defense slacking again this year. So their defense has always been pretty good. So you at least expect that with Coach Boyles at the helm. You know, we're at the age now, the way the rules have changed, man, you need a quality quarterback. So,
yeah.
I mean, the talent is there all around the league, every team. I mean, but the talent is based on your quarterback play. So they can get some consistent play at the quarterback. I mean, they'll definitely have a shot to, you know, possibly make the playoffs because, you know, especially in the division they're in.
Sure.
So, I mean, it just kind of boils down to that. I, you know, after that incident that they had in the locker room with Geno Smith and, you know, obviously that might have took the team back a little bit, but who knows? I mean, it could be a blessing in disguise too. I know they got some veteran quarterbacks that are going to step in, and but it's one of those things. If they can get consistent play out of their quarterback, I mean, they're definitely going to have their shot. So that's really what it boils down to. I mean, if all you have to look at is every team, the teams that are in the bottom half of the draw, all you have to look at, the first thing you have to look at is the quarterback stats. It's a quarterback league now. I mean, you know, if your quarterback can't manage the game, you know, you don't have to be, you know, spectacular, be, you know, Peyton Manning and throw a bunch of touchdowns. But, you know, as long as you can keep your team in the game and into the fourth quarter, I mean, at least, you know, that's what you're shooting for. And, you know, that's the most important thing. And these quarterbacks got to understand what their talent skill is. And what they mean to the team, and that's really what it boils down to. Because, you know, you only got about 5 or 10 guys that, okay, you take the ball, you win the game for us. You know, the other half of the quarterbacks, hey, you know what? Use your team to the best of your ability, and don't screw up. You know.
did you ever see anything like that when you played with what happened to Geno? I mean, that's pretty unique, I would assume.
What happened? The fight?
Yeah.
To that extent, yes. I mean, you'll have arguments. Yeah, I remember, you know, I mean, the Raiders, they used to be crazy about that. You know, because Doki used to tell me about that stuff. But it would never become violent. You know, you might have a wrestling contest or something like that, but
yeah.
But yeah, I never heard or any locker room I've ever been in. I mean, that was just totally ridiculous to get to that point. So I don't know how you can even explain it. I mean, just, you know, everybody has their moments, but you know, to be violent, especially against a teammate, I mean, that's really a low blow. But I've never experienced it, and I know guys, even when you are upset with each other, you know, because I've had my own incidents. I mean, you're, you know, it's, there's a lot of ways to work out your problems, so, than going that route, you know, so, especially when you're dealing with somebody's career. I mean, because I think that's why guys don't go there. I mean, they'll go there when everyone's got their pads and helmet on. Because, you know, it's all just, you know, everyone knows, okay, we're not going to get hurt, but I'm just letting you know I don't like that, you know.
And looking for someone over their shoulder to break it up for them, right?
Right. I mean, that was my ammunition. It was always nice going out to the nightclubs, and I can be nice and tough and say, hey, you mess with me, you got to deal with Gastineau, Klecko, and Lions, man. So, but I hopefully that doesn't happen again, because I, you know, again, there's a respect factor there, and guys know everybody wants to see everyone do well, and you want to have a good career. You want to see if you can, you know, come out of the game with your health and a decent financial standing to, you know, give you a few years to make the transition. And, you know, so you do your best. I mean, you know, not to do that. I mean, that's kind of like a code of honor type of thing for the most part.
Yeah. The thing that amazed me the most is it seemed to, the media seemed to be very split on who was at fault. My take is kind of doesn't matter. This isn't an argument. This is an assault. And Gina, I mean, if her jaw got broken like that, he's lucky more than it happened to him. I mean,
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, obviously they're both at fault, but, I mean, to take it to that extreme, I mean, that's like, you know, a domestic violence issue. I mean, they're both at fault, but you need to take it there to solve your problem, you know? I mean, come on.
Exactly.
So.
Well, Georgia,